You may be seated. Our text for today is actually the first eight verses of Acts chapter 9, having to do with the conversion of Saul. You're going to hear in this reading the word "the way." That was a title given to the Christian church. So when you hear "the way," think of the Christian church. And also, it's going to be talking about Saul. We later know him as St. Paul. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what are the two most important days in your life? You might say, well, the day I was born, the day I got married, the day I had my first child, the day I got that perfect job. Not even close. Not even close. Clearly, the two most monumental and important days in your life are the day of your conversion, when you became a Christian, and then the day of your death, when you go to heaven. Now, often in the church year, we talk about death in the fall as we are approaching Thanksgiving time. But today I want to back up and look at that first most monumental day in your life, the day of your conversion, the day you become a Christian. How does it come about? What is it all about? How does it happen? I want to give you an idea from one of the leading preachers of the century, you might say. Here is an individual, his name is Robert Schuller, who built a monumental cathedral, the Crystal Cathedral in Anaheim, California. Thousands upon thousands of people have gone to that Crystal Cathedral. Robert Schuller has written best-selling books, one entitled Living Powerfully One Day at a Time. And in that book, he talks about how conversion comes about. Now, keep in mind, conversion is known by many titles. Conversion is known as being born again, being born of the Spirit, being born of God, being a new creation. But how does that conversion come about? I'm going to quote to you from Robert Schuller. He says this, "The Bible makes it very clear that if you ask Jesus to come into your life, he will do it. That's a fact. The Bible teaches it, and I know it works. Receiving Christ into your life is an act of the intellect. It is an act of the will, not an act of the heart. It is not emotional, it is volitional." Now, that's decision theology, and I guess the question is this fact or is this fiction? Well, let's go ahead and review the conversion of Saul to see if it was an act of his will through his own volition that he came to faith in Jesus Christ. So, what is the story? Saul was a man on a mission. He had a campaign, and he was leading that campaign. He was on a rampage against this rebel known as Jesus, who was put to death on a cross and was still rotting in a tomb or in a grave someplace. He was on a mission. He was a conspirator and an assistant in the murder of Stephen. Not only that, if we read in Acts chapter 8, it says that Saul began to destroy the Christian church. Going from house to house, he dragged off Christian men and women and put them in prison. The persecution of Christians was so grave that some of those people actually fled 140 miles away to Damascus, and now he gets permission to go and to find these Christians as far away as Damascus and have them arrested, brought back to Jerusalem for trial and pending execution. And it was in the middle of his hatred, his anger, and his rebellion that he was converted to Christianity. So was it an act of his will? Did he, through his own volition, come to faith in Jesus Christ? The whole idea is preposterous. There's no way he could do that. He hated that one, Jesus. And now he becomes a believer in Jesus. The notion that you make a decision for Christ and that's how you come to faith is a myth, and it's a myth of the worst sort because it's 180 degrees in the wrong direction. It has nothing to do with you making that decision. Oh, no, the source must come from elsewhere. So, the most important day in your life is the day you become a Christian. So, how does it come about? It comes about through God's love for you. A parent and a child are walking down a sidewalk next to a very busy road. Cars are just going fast, 45, 50 miles an hour, right past this sidewalk. And the little child looks at his parent in defiance. Don't you dare go near that street. No, you can't make me. And that child breaks loose from the parent. And that child starts to dart out into the road. Certain destruction, all those cars coming this way. And the parent just rushes out into traffic and grabs the child and pulls the child back to safety. You would have to say that the parent redirected that child. And so it is with conversion. That was the story of Saul. And if you're Christian, that's the story of you as well. Saving you, turning you around, bringing you from the brink of destruction and damnation and hell was not yours. It was the conversion which was brought about by your God because he loves you. In the story of Saul, Jesus directly intervenes in this evil man's life. And you know, Saul, he thought about that and he thought about that. Even in the height of his rebellion, Jesus came to him and saved him. And so Paul talks about this over and over and over again. Not to show how great he is, but that God may be given all of the glory for what happened to him. And I would submit to you that your story is just as dramatic and just as important as that conversion of Saul. Think of it. What God did for you. Maybe you're like me. I was a couple weeks old when it happened to me. What was I like from the point of my conception on? I was rebellious. I had no time for God, no inclination that I would want to be a part of Jesus' family, the household of God. No, I was just as corrupt as I possibly could be. And yet something as simple as a little bit of water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit completely turned me around. It's nothing I did, but it was the working of the Holy Spirit in my heart, a working of faith there in that Jesus Christ, my Savior. Now, maybe you weren't baptized as an infant, and that's how your conversion came about. But maybe later in life, you heard a story about the Son of God who came down from heaven to earth and made this incredible exchange. It's this Jesus who is saying, I'll tell you what, your lives are completely wrong. Your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your actions, everything is bad. I will live a perfect life for you and then give you credit for that. And in exchange for that, I will take all of your sins, guilt, iniquity, and the punishment and the sentence to hell that your sins deserve, and I'll take that on myself. So you get my perfection and I get your evil, and I'll pay for it on the cross of Calvary. And you heard that message of the gospel, and God the Holy Spirit made that your reality. He convinced you of the truth of that, and you became a Christian at that point. So we're talking today about conversion. Which is correct and which is more stupendous? That you one day made a decision that you would be a believer, or that in the midst of your absolute rebellion against God, God loved you so much that he came to you through the waters of baptism or through the gospel message as proclaimed and turned your heart around. To God be the glory that you are a Christian. Amen. Would you please rise now and take out your hymn book and open to page 32 in the beginning, the front part of your hymnal. Page 32. And there you'll find the third article, and we are going to start reading together right after where it says, "What does this mean?" Page 32. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me and all believers all our sins. And at the last day, he will raise up me and all the dead and will grant me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. We sing the hymn. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Depart in peace.